I invite you tonight to turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 19. We're going to read the first 10 verses. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. So far, the reading of God's word. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, it always impresses me every time I go to an airport or when I even drive to Seattle to see how many people there are, how crowded everything is. Every time you look and you see these crowds, and once you want to sit back once in a while, and you can't help but ask yourself, I wonder how many of these people know the way, the truth, the life. How many of all those thousands who pass through the streets and who line up at airports are busy? How many of those people really know the Lord? And then the next question asked comes to my mind is, why is it that I know him? The late Reverend Dr. Billy Graham once said, when I see God face to face, I'm going to ask him, why did you choose me? Why is it that I have saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? What is there about me that has ever impressed the Lord? Why did he speak to me, to my heart? And how is it that I could ever have responded to him? Now, we can ask all kinds of questions, and we could, I suppose, come up with different answers. We could say, well, look, it's because I'm different. Some of you have maybe mentioned that to each other. I'm just different. I'm elect. I'm one of the chosen. I stand out in the crowd. I'm one of the household of faith. You all know the terminology. But I want to ask that question with a great deal of amazement now tonight. When you look at the crowds, when you look at all the people, you're apt to say, how is it possible that I can believe? I sat on an airplane once with a man who came from India, and that question came up again and again in our conversation. How is it possible in this world to believe that there is only one God? Who is God? How can I find him? And you see, brothers and sisters, young people, how is it possible for you and for me to believe? And I believe that the answer to that question is given in our text tonight. That last verse, that verse which is really a commentary on this entire passage. Jesus came, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. That's the answer. He came to seek and save the lost. We read that Jesus approached Jericho and he restored the sight to a blind man. And when people had heard about this miracle, they praised God together, and crowds began to now follow Jesus all throughout the city. And we read that that created a problem for at least one person in Jericho, a tax collector named Zacchaeus. That's quite a name, by the way, Zacchaeus. It means the righteous one. Do you catch the irony in that name? The righteous one? Because you see, brothers and sisters, young people, that name was not at all in harmony with his reputation and not at all in harmony with his occupation. Because Zacchaeus was known for being an unrighteous man. Zacchaeus was known as a sinner. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. And oh, how those people were hated. Now, no one likes to pay taxes today, I get it. And they didn't like to pay taxes in Jesus' day either. But it went much deeper than that. Paying taxes to the Roman government was like committing treason to your own country. In fact, it was considered blasphemy for a Jew to pay taxes to a foreign government. And the Jews knew enough about the theocracy of Israel to know that it was heresy to pay taxes to Rome. And now this Zacchaeus was a tax collector, a chief tax collector. He had leased a certain amount of territory from the Roman government, and he was at liberty to charge as much as he wanted in taxes. He could levy a tax for almost any amount he wanted. He had to pay the stated amount to the Roman government, but the rest went into his pocket. It would be like if you wanted to go to the hardware store and you wanted to buy a fishing license. And the sign there says that fishing licenses were, $25 or whatever. But the guy behind the counter said, well, no, we actually charge $35. Where does that extra $10 go? Oh, don't worry about it, overhead. I'd find somebody else to sell me the license. You see, that extra money would just go into his pocket. And that was the situation with those who were tax collectors in Israel. No wonder we read that Zacchaeus was a very wealthy man, but he had a horrible reputation. And yet he wanted to see Jesus. He was curious about this miracle worker. Undoubtedly, he had heard that this Jesus had healed the blind man in his city. And by the time that Jesus' ministry was on this way, he already knew something about this very strange rabbi who was just not like the ordinary scribe or Pharisee. He was much different. Jesus taught and preached with authority. And so Zacchaeus wanted to see this strange rabbi, Jesus, but he could not. And our text gives the reason. The man was very short. Well, at least he was somewhat shorter. And a lot have been made of that. I mean, kids sing the song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and so on. I don't even know if they can sing that anymore today without getting into some kind of politically correct trouble. But let's just say he was short. There, now I said it. Okay, now you got it. But that's what the Bible says. It says he was short. Okay. And he couldn't see above the crowd. He wanted to see this Jesus, but you know how little kids are when they want to see something of the parade going by, they're jumping up and down, trying to, get above the heads of everybody else, and then good old dad stands there and picks him up and puts him on his shoulder, and but there's nobody who's going to put Zacchaeus on their shoulders. And so he wants to see Jesus, and he can't. And there's another reason. This man would like to spend some time with Jesus. This man would love to say to Jesus, please, won't you come and stop for a moment? Because I would really like to get to know you. I have a certain amount of questions for you. Please, won't you spend some time with me? Give me some answers. But he could not. How could this rabbi ever spend time with this tax collector, this traitor, with this someone who was thoroughly despised by the people, and perhaps he even felt at this time, how could this rabbi, Jesus, want to spend time with someone who was so thoroughly despised by God? There's no hope for me. And yet I want to see this Jesus, because there's something about him that attracts me. And that's why he did something about it. Zacchaeus ran ahead of the crowd, and he says, I guess if it's up to me, I better do something about this, because the parade route seems to go this way, and I don't want to make sure that I see him, so I better get ahead and find a spot where I can see Jesus. And so this short Zacchaeus, that publican, made a public spectacle of himself and climbed into the sycamore tree, a sturdy, short tree with thick branches, a beautiful shade tree. But he did this for two reasons. One, he'd be able to peek through the leaves, so to speak, and maybe see Jesus that way. And secondly, he hoped that nobody would see him. At least, that's what he thought. And so you can just see this little guy perched up on this branch, peeking through the leaves, maybe trying to get a glimpse of Jesus, and only a glimpse. You see, beloved, the question I heard from that traveler that was from India is also a question that you and I hear a lot today, if we are at all wired for sound. The question may come to us in many different forms, but it's always the same basic question: who is God? And where can we find him? And how can we see him? How can we experience him? And as an answer to that, then I also want to ask you, what do you do to do that? Are you willing to find yourself among the crowds where Jesus shows himself? Are you willing to line up among the crowds along the street to see Jesus? What are you willing to do to see Jesus and to know him? Zacchaeus did something. Zacchaeus climbed into a sycamore tree. Zacchaeus was willing to make a public spectacle of himself just to catch a glimpse of Jesus. And then it happened. As Jesus passed by, all of a sudden he stood still, and he looked up into that sycamore tree, and he said, Zacchaeus. Jesus called him by name. Did Jesus know him? Did Jesus know about him? We like to give all kinds of wonderful theological answers. We like to say, well, of course, Jesus is all-knowing. Jesus chooses. Jesus wanted to single him out. Why did Jesus say at this particular moment, Zacchaeus? And let's not begin to talk about the process of election. Let's not speculate this much about what Jesus knew at this time. Let's stay with what the Bible says. What does it say? Jesus stopped at this particular moment, and Jesus looked up at Zacchaeus and said, Zacchaeus, you know why? Because Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Beloved, that is such an amazing thing. I don't think I will ever get over that. I believe that that is one of the hardest things for us to believe, that Jesus, the Son of God, came to seek and to save the lost. The man who died for others. Now, that's not too difficult to believe. Even that Jesus could come up out of the grave on the first day of the week, that's possible for our faith to acknowledge that. But that the Son of God came down from heaven, that the Son of God came to seek and save the lost, to seek and save you and me. I submit to you that's one of the hardest things for us to believe. And that's why this message of Jesus is so startling. He wanted to proclaim by standing there, stopping the whole parade, looking up into that tree, kind of overlooking the crowd, so to speak, and peering at Zacchaeus and say, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Zacchaeus, I don't have a lot of time. I am on my way now to Jerusalem. I'm on my way to Gethsemane. I'm on my way to the cross. Zacchaeus, the clock is ticking. There isn't much time in God's schedule. Zacchaeus, come down immediately because I must be in your house today." Oh, sure. It would have been a whole lot easier if Jesus would have said, "Zacchaeus, you ought to repent. Zacchaeus, let everybody here and now, let everyone know that you as a publican, you as a dishonest tax collector, Zacchaeus, I see you, now change your life." But isn't it interesting? Jesus didn't do that. He did something that was totally unbelievable for a Jew. And I picture it this way, and I hope you can see it unbelievably too. Do you know what it meant for a Jew to eat in someone's house? It meant a bond. It meant intimacy, a very, very close relationship. Jesus looked at the crowds, but he singled out this Zacchaeus. But when he came to Zacchaeus, the publican, the traitor, the hated one, he didn't say, "Oh, you are that." No, he said, "Come down, Zacchaeus, immediately, because I want to have a close relationship with you. I want to talk with you intimately. I want to eat with you. I want to stay at your house today." That was unbelievable. That was unheard of. That a rabbi eating with publicans and tax collectors and sinners, shameful. And so in amazement, the crowd said, "Look, he's gone to be the guest of that wicked, sinful man." They could not understand it. Neither can we. Think of it this way. Suppose the crowds from all the churches here in the city of Burlington were to gather together on the street and watch as Jesus walked by. And all of these people would be standing there tiptoed, all these baptized and confessing members of the church, the one holy Catholic church, watching as Jesus walked by, just so they could get a glimpse of Jesus. And then there's this one man in the crowd that has a criminal record a mile long. We don't even want to look at him. We know about him and we know about his sordid past. And Jesus stops and he says to that man, "I want to have fellowship with you. I want to take time out to have fellowship with you." I'm sure that 99% of that crowd, and undoubtedly I would have been one of them, who would have said, "No, I don't understand this at all. We support the Christian upbringing of our children. We attend church regularly. We sacrifice greatly for the kingdom of God. And all we do is just catch a little glimpse of Jesus. And then here's this man, this Zacchaeus, this wicked fellow." Jesus says, "Come down, because I must come to your house today." That's incomprehensible. Exactly. Because that's the gospel. The gospel is incomprehensible. The gospel is not according to man. And when I say that, beloved, I'm not talking about the intricacies of election and reprobation and what have you. But when I say that, I stand in awe before the fact that the Son of God came to seek and to save the lost. Now that is so amazing. Perhaps that is why people will say today, "Who is this God? And where in the world can we find him? Because it is so totally foreign to us to accept the fact that there is a God who can love us. A God that seeks and saves the lost. And that, of course, is the message that comes out of our text. That's what the scribes and the Pharisees had to hear. That's what had to penetrate to their very core, that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And it's so overwhelming, first of all, to the crowds, but also so overwhelming to Zacchaeus that he says to Jesus, "Lord, I will give half of my income to the poor." He doesn't say, "I have given it to the poor." Well, then he would have been trying to justify himself. No, he says, "Lord, half of my income I give to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will make restitution. And I will not only make restitution, but I will pay four times the amount." You know what Zacchaeus is saying by saying that? He's saying, "Lord, your grace, your love, the fact that you stopped, Lord, the fact that you came to seek and to save the lost, me." Not just a nice theological statement. No. The fact that you came to seek and save me is so overwhelming that there's only one thing I can say. "Lord, what can I give for all your blessings to me?" And then Jesus said to him, "Salvation has come to this household today." Salvation. All the blessings, all the grace, all the joy, everything that God has to offer has come now to this household today. You see how Jesus even speaks covenantally in this text? He doesn't just take Zacchaeus off to the side in some little corner somewhere and say, "Well, now, Zacchaeus, salvation has come to you as an individual today because I found you in that sycamore tree." No, but Jesus says, and he looked at his family, he looked at his household, and covenantally, Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, salvation has come to this household today. Your fellow Jews probably won't accept you. No one would ever eat with you, Zacchaeus. I know that. You had your money, you had your big bank accounts, and yet you were very dishonest with the figures. You had it all, Zacchaeus, but you were a lonely man. No one wanted to associate with you. But Zacchaeus, you too are a son of Abraham." That's what Jesus said of him. "You too are a covenant child. Salvation has come to your house today. For Zacchaeus, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Beloved, how is it that we can be a happy individual in Christ? How can we as a covenant community show that we have been redeemed by the power of the Word of God? How can we say, "What can I give back to the Lord for all his blessings to me?" Listen, only when I can accept, and you've got to do that in utter amazement, but accept it nonetheless, that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He came to seek you. He came to seek me. Now please, won't you use your gifts and your talents? I have been privy to some of your meals, and they're fantastic. Won't you be willing to do that with somebody from your neighborhood? Somebody that you know that you can talk to about Jesus. Have them over for a meal. Have devotions. Talk about what it means to be a servant of the Most High God. Because God wants you to be his ambassadors, just as Jesus was, to seek and save the lost. So be it. And all God's people said, Amen.